there's a protein that this thing produces, weird protein, and it's a measure of how high the level is. I started off at 22, it's now down to 1. And yeah, give God a clap. Yeah. Do I get a hallelujah? Some people don't really get that far. They get 2 or 3. So he's really pleased with me. That's number one. Number two, you'll be aware also I've been walking around with a hand infection for the last few weeks. And I went, was referred to St. George's, the Nye Bevin department, where they do hands. I went for a follow-up. And they weren't very happy with it, and they wanted. They took some pictures. At the end of the day, they consulted with each other. They decided to want to do a biopsy, which was a bit of a shock. Anyway, so they did the biopsy, and I'm thinking about, well, what could that be? Anyway, it turns out I got the result of that on Thursday, and it's a non-serious condition called Sweet syndrome, and it often occurs with chemotherapy, so it just sorts itself out, really. So that was a big weight off my mind. Number three, there was a queer. You know, I've got possibly going to have surgery for the heart at some point. There was a query about whether having the lymphoma would be a contradictory to having surgery. Would it be a problem? So they couldn't do the surgery. Well, apparently, no, says the specialist. It shouldn't be a problem right now because it's really, really low and you're no more at risk than the normal person. So that was three good results, and praise God for that.
Amen. Come on now, we can shout, Jesus! There's power in the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I also had Simon say earlier this morning that he had a terrible fall and he hurt his right knee quite badly. And he said the name of Jesus about 20 times. That's all he could remember. Just Jesus, Jesus. And today he's here and he's well and he's ready to play football again. Isn't that good? Our God is good. You know, there's something in the name of Jesus. That's why I'm preaching on the name of Jesus. Amen? Because many don't like to hear the name Jesus. They like to swear with the name of Jesus. But when you talk about Jesus, and when you tell them how much Jesus can do for you, how he can save you from sin, from darkness, from your transgressions, from your iniquity, and bring you into his kingdom of joy and love and peace and righteousness and holiness, they don't want to hear that. And so I just thought I need to speak about Jesus because there is no one else other than Jesus. He's the one. Amen. We sang about that this morning. I love the songs this morning because it was glorifying Jesus to the one who has rescued my soul, to the one who has welcomed me home, to the one who is Savior of all. And that one is Jesus. You can say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on,
Jesus.
You know something? It liberates you. It gives something like adrenaline in your system. When you say, Jesus, your body responds to the name of Jesus. Your mind responds to the name of Jesus. Your heart responds to the name of Jesus. Whatever condition you might have this morning, you might be burdened with sickness, with disease, with long-term conditions. Now is the time to say, Jesus. No matter what you have in your body, you can shout, Jesus! Because the only healing, the only comfort, the only consolation, the only person who can get you out of where you are to where God wants you to be is Jesus and no one else. That's why I get excited about Jesus. That's why I get excited about church. Because I know I'm always winning. I'm never losing with Jesus. Did you realize that? You are never a loser in Christ Jesus. You want to win in life? Get to know Jesus. Get to know God's word. You will always win. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, I have a scripture here this morning taken from Isaiah 54 and 17. And I believe this is a scripture for somebody today. And in the New King James, it says, no weapon. Say no weapon. Formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In the New Living Translation, it says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. No weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. There are people who will accuse you, but you will silence every voice that raises itself to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you a servant of the Lord this morning? I said, are you a servant of the Lord this morning? Then this is for you. These benefits are for you. Tell your neighbor, that's you he's talking about. Their vindication will come from me, for I, the Lord, have spoken. Hallelujah. The vindication doesn't come from anyone else but God himself. He will vindicate us. He will take us through. He will bring us out of situations. No matter who tries to accuse you this morning, you have the authority to silence every accusation. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Thank God for the word of God this morning. Okay, so I'm on the subject of Jesus. I'm still on who is Jesus. I couldn't finish last week. I only did a quarter, but I'm hoping I'll finish this part today by God's grace. So Lord, I thank you this morning. It's exciting to talk about your name because your name is above every other name. Thank you for the name of Jesus this morning. God, give us an understanding to know your word, to hear your voice. Whatever you have for us this morning, God, we receive it by faith right now. Say, I receive the word of God into my life today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I spoke to you last week and I said that many people use the name and swear with the name of Jesus. And many people come up against those who call themselves Christians. Churches today are being persecuted for the name and the sake of Jesus. Why? Because there's something about that name. There's something powerful about that name that the devil doesn't like. That's why. It's not due to human beings that are greater. There's a principality, there's a power, there's a ruler in high places that is orchestrating things on this earth. And sadly, people get caught up with it. And so the enemy is out to destroy that which God has established. And God has established the church, which is his body. That's why the devil is out to destroy the church, which is you and I. And if he can do that, he's got us. And that's why we need to talk about Jesus even more. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. And I read this scripture last week, and it says this: we look at this Son, this Jesus Christ, and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together. Hallelujah. Like a head does a body. And so I said we can glean three things: that Jesus is the expressed image of God the Father. When we look at Jesus, we see God the Father. We look at Jesus and we see God's original purpose in everything he created. We absolutely, everything starts in Jesus and finds its purpose in Jesus. And he holds everything in his hands. You know the song we sing, he's got the whole world. That's true. He's got everybody and everything in his hands. He holds it all together right up to now. Say now. Right now, right at this very moment, he holds your life in his hands. What Jesus taught and what he did are inseparable. They always come together. They're always together. It reveals who Jesus is. Jesus is fully God, and yet he was fully human. And he never ceased to be God when he walked on this earth. And that's why John John the Baptist, if you read John's gospel, he says, tells us that Jesus was with God at the beginning, and that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was there at the beginning of time. He's there today. He's there right now. And he'll always be there for you and for me. That's the God we serve. And you know, Christ Jesus, when he came down on his earth, look at Philippians chapter 2. It's an amazing scripture. If you haven't underlined Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8 and more, and up to 10 actually, you need to underline that. And it says this, the amazing act of God, the amazing act of Jesus. He says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside his privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Say slave. Jesus took on the form of a slave. He put off all his robes and all his heavenly credentials. He took it all off him, and he was prepared to be a slave and become human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. How do we know that? When the devil told him, throw yourself down, you are God, throw yourself down. He said, it is written, I won't do that. He could have summoned a whole, thousands of angels when he was on the cross, when he was in the garden crying. He could have said, God, I don't want this anymore. But he didn't. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim any privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death. And that was to die on a cross. Remember that you and I, we only exist because God made us. You and I, we have special gifts because God has given those gifts to us. Look at yourself and thank God for who you are. Never demean yourself, because when you demean yourself, you're saying, God, you haven't done a good job with me. You see, if you look at something that is made and something that is put together, you look at a pot, for example, or a painting or whatever you look at, you look at the painting and say, wow, this is amazing. And then look at who painted this. Am I right? Or who made this pot? You look at some item that has been made. And you go, wow, this is amazing. And then you say, who actually made this? And when we look at ourselves, we need to look at ourselves and say, wow, God, you made me like this. Not say, tell yourself, oh man, look at me, God, you could have done better. No, God did his best. But you and I, we take it upon ourselves to be God, and we look at ourselves and we condemn ourselves. Who are we to condemn ourselves when we have no control absolutely over our lives? We can be sitting here now comfortably. In a second, we could all be just gone. You're scared, are you? You're in a good place, though. You're in church. That's good. But that's how inconsistent life is. We think we have it all made, but in a moment of time, it could all be gone. Something can strike this building now, and we'd all be gone. That's how, what's the word, tangible? Life is. Fragile life is. We have no control over any of that. So thank God for who you are. And say, thank you, Lord, that you made me beautiful, wonderful, amazing. Like David said in Psalm 139. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to do some personal application about who Jesus is to us and in us. And because of who Jesus is to us, here's the first point. You are valuable and unique. This morning, Jenny highlighted that. She said, God sees you as valuable. He's put value on your life. Think about that. When you value something, you don't just throw it about, do you? People who value jewelry, ask them. They don't just leave it outside, you know. Oh, let it be in the garden. Who cares? You know. Outside my door, I'll just put some valuable stuff outside. No. What do we do with valuables? We wrap it up and we hide it in a place where nobody can find it. And we hide it so carefully that when you want it, you yourself can't find it. You and I are valuable in Christ Jesus. He looks at us and he says, you are of value. You are of worth. You are unique. There isn't another Kareem. There isn't another Alf. You know, there's only one of a kind. And Leonard said, yeah, praise God for that. But there's only one of us. There is no duplication. There's no double of us. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Even our thumbprints are all different. That's why today they want your thumbprint. Imagine if you had some of us had the same. That wouldn't be a recognizable way of identifying somebody. But today, our thumbprints, imagine that. How many billion people on the earth? 7 billion or something like that. Every person, think about that, has a different thumbprint. Wow. That's how unique you are. Pat yourself on the back. Good preachings. Good preaching. Yeah? I'll take a collection afterwards. Okay. You and I, apart from God, you and I are nothing. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus himself said this. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain joined, underline that word, joined, to me and I to you, you will bear a lot of fruit. What will happen when you're joined? You'll bear fruit. If you're disjointed, you won't bear fruit. That's simple, isn't it? That's not theology. That's not hard to understand. If you're joined, you'll have fruit. If you're disjointed, no fruit. You can't do anything without me. And it's such an important truth for us to take on board this morning. We need to understand and realize that there is a joining process, that we have to be connected to Jesus in order for us to flourish. If you cut a branch off its tree that is bearing fruit, try it. The fruit will wither. It will never grow. It'll never ripen. Why? Because it's cut off from its source. And sometimes in our lives, we want every blessing. We want everything in life. We want God. We are crying out to God, God, do something in my life. But all most of the time, God is saying, look, I've done everything for you, but you choose to be disjointed. You choose me like a paracetamol. Only when you're in trouble, then you come. What about the rest of the time? And so, When we see growth in our lives, we know that we are joined with Jesus Christ. If we do not see growth in our lives, then there's something not right. And it's not with God, it's with us. Can you say amen to that? It's with us. And the sooner we realize that, and the sooner we get joined to Jesus, because it's a two-way process. It says here, if you remain joined to me and I to you, then you will bear a lot of fruit. Look at Isaiah 43 and 1, amazing scripture. You can underline that as well. It says, hear, O Israel, here's the one who formed you. Here's what he says. The one who formed you says this, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. Hallelujah. You are mine. Isn't that amazing? Can that be any more unique than that? He has called you by your name. Many of us, all of us, we have a name, don't we? We are not nobodies on this earth. We have a name. People identify us by our name. God has identified us. He has named us. We are His. He has bought us with His blood. And Isaiah 49 and verse 16 says this, I have written your name on the palm of my hands. I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Wow. Imagine that. God looks at you and says, oh yeah, I know him. I know Alf King. Yeah, great guy. He's very noisy, very bubbly, you know. Yeah, great guy. I know him. Let's bother Alf today. Psalm 139, the psalmist says in verse 13 and 14, Psalm 139, he said, oh yes, you shaped me first inside. Where was the inside? In your womb, mother's womb. You shaped me inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You are breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made. Tell yourself, I am marvelously made. God's made an amazing specimen of me. I look amazing. Tell yourself that. We need to tell ourselves that. We look amazing. Hallelujah. You look amazing. Praise God. Praise His holy name. That's what the psalmist said. I worship in adoration. What a creation. What a creation. Here's the second one. Because of who Jesus is, you and I, you are His workmanship or His handiwork. You are His creation. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, we are God's creation. Tell your neighbor, that's you. You are God's creation. To create is to bring out of nothing, correct? That's create. He created us to belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now we can do good works. Why? Because we were created to belong to whom? Jesus Christ. So now we can do good works. Long ago, God prepared these works for us to do. These were already done, already prepared, already made ready for us. All we have to do is by faith accept it and say, God, I'm walking in your ways. I'm walking in your truth. I delight in your word. God knew what your name was going to be. He knew your date of birth already. He knew it. He knew where you were going to be born. He knew that already. He knew what time you were going to be born. Hallelujah. He knows everything about you and me. That's who He is, because we are His creation. Here's the third one. Because of who Jesus is, we are a new creation in Christ. You and I are a new creation in Christ. And He says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 and 18, we all know this scripture really well. It says, when anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from who? God. We cannot do it by ourselves. No amount of money, no amount of good works, no amount of good deeds can do this for us. Why? Because it is from God. All this is from God. It is a gift that He gives us. He brought us back to Himself through Christ's death on the cross. How did He bring us back? Through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. You can shout hallelujah to that. Praise His holy name. The old is gone, the new has come. See, the good old days were the good old days, and they were the good old days. But we cannot live in the good old days. If we live in the good old days, we'll never live in the now. And there are some who still talk about the good old days, and let's be thankful for the good old days, but we cannot live in the good old days. We've got to live in the now. And the same thing with in our walk with Jesus Christ. It's not about what happened many years ago. It's about what's happening now. is what's happening now in our lives. Who is Jesus to us now? Not 20 years ago. But who is Jesus to us now? Is he still the King of Kings? Is he still the Lord of Lords? Is he still the one who is ruling and reigning in our lives? Or have we somehow sidestepped from his call in our lives? This is the one thing that keeps me in this game, is I know I have been called. And my job is to stay faithful to God's calling. That's it. God will do the rest. My job is not to drag in people from the streets and bring them here. I would love to do that. But my job is to say, faith to God says, I called you to this house. And no matter what happens, I still got to be faithful. Here's the fourth one. Because of who Jesus is, you and I have been made righteous. Hallelujah. What is being made righteous? I like that explanation that I have said before. When you are righteous in Christ Jesus, you are living without the sense of guilt of sin in your life. You don't live with the guilt of sin anymore. If you're still living in the guilt of sin, that's not righteousness. Righteousness frees you from the guilt of sin. It frees you from the sense of being inferior. We sang about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on. You and I are people of God. It says in... it'll come to me. It says, for we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, God's special people. Because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. God has made us righteous in him, in Christ, through Christ Jesus. Not our own righteousness, because the Bible tells us our righteousness is filthy. It's dirty. Rubbish. We cannot earn it. Many people are trying to earn righteousness by doing good deeds. Many religions talk about do good deeds. I know we should be doing good deeds, but there is something greater and more powerful that has to happen in our lives, because we are internally, intrinsically prone to sin because of Adam's failure, because of Adam's sin. And the only one who can get us out of that predicament is Jesus Christ. Why? Because nobody else died on the cross save Jesus Christ. Only he died for you and for me. Am I condemning other religions? No. But all I'm saying is that Jesus died for you. Jesus paid the price for you. He shed his blood for you, and he loves you. And if you're willing to accept him and love this Jesus, you will see a turnaround in your own lives. That's who Jesus is. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ didn't have any sin. He was sinless. But God made him become sin for us. In that moment of time, when Jesus died on the cross, for that moment of time, that's whatever, how many few seconds that was, when the sin of mankind, everything pertaining to man, was on Jesus Christ. For that moment, God, who is holy, cannot look at sin. The only way he can see us is through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is holy and he is righteous and he is sinless. But for that moment, Jesus was made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for you and for me. At that moment, when God turns his face, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus refers to God before as Father. He says, my Father and I are one. But at that moment, he recognizes himself with us. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He became sin for us so we can be made right with God because of what Christ has done for us. By making us righteous, God has acquitted us from sin. It doesn't belong to us. Sin does not belong to us. We have been acquitted, set free, not guilty. That's what it means. Sin cannot hold us anymore. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah to that. The guilt of sin cannot hold us bound anymore. Because Jesus has declared us not guilty. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 tells us this in the message. I will sing for joy, he says, in God. I will explode in praise from deep in my soul. He's dressed me up in a suit of salvation or in robes of salvation, in robes of righteousness. He has fitted me out in a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. What has he done? He has acquitted us from sin. He has dressed you in his suit of salvation that he paid for on the cross of Calvary. The question is, are we wearing the salvation suit of Jesus Christ? And if we are wearing the suit of righteousness, which comes from him and through him, cannot be bought by money, cannot be done by works. It comes as us as a gift from God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We accept Jesus, we accept his righteousness, we accept his holiness. We accept his salvation. That's how it works. As a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo, I like that, or a dinner suit or something great, you know. As a bridegroom adorns himself with a tuxedo and a bride with a jewel tiara, Jesus Christ takes away our unrighteousness. In other words, our unrighteous, filthy garments full of iniquity, transgression, and sin. He takes it away. And then you know what he does? He clothes us. Say clothes. Here's what he clothes us with. Robes, rich robes. What are these robes? Robes of righteousness, right standing with God, just as if I never sinned. That's the robe of righteousness. So when the devil comes to you and says, "Ah, you have sinned," you can say, "No, I'm standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't live condemned anymore. Devil, you are condemned." And we know what your fate will be one day. Hallelujah. In Genesis, it says that the woman will crush the head of the serpent. The offspring coming off the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Hallelujah. God is on the throne. We are covered in his robe of righteousness. Hebrews 10 and verse 10 tells us that we have been made holy. Say holy. We have been made holy by what God wanted. Now, holiness, many think holiness is taking yourself away to some remote part of the earth, wrapping yourself in some amazing, I don't know, white saffron or whatever robes or something that you might have, or shaving your head, you know, or doing some other weird stuff, sitting on a mountaintop or in a cave somewhere and vegetating. That is not holiness. That isn't holiness. We cannot earn holiness sitting under a tree or on a mountaintop covered in whatever we want to cover ourselves with. Never buys us holiness. Why? Because holiness is already given through whom? Through Christ Jesus. We cannot earn holiness. We think we can earn it. We think somehow we can buy righteousness. You can't. You have to accept it. But you have a responsibility of living in it. Living in holiness. We have been made holy through whom? Through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He's made us holy once and for all time. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you are a holy person. God's made you holy. Hey, your holiness. The holiness is not the Pope in Rome. You and I, we are the holiness of Jesus Christ. Let's not get fooled. It's not about robes. It's not about wearing a big, what do you call that? Hat? I'm sure there's some other posh word for that. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ who offered it to us free. Hallelujah. Free for us today. You can shout a big hallelujah for that. The Holy Person is one who has been robed with Jesus' robe of righteousness. That's a holy person. A holy person is someone who has accepted the blood of Jesus, and where the blood of Jesus has cleansed them from all unrighteous, filthy deeds. Hallelujah. That's a holy person. The other thing that Jesus has done for us is that he has sanctified us. That's a big theological term, but it simply means set apart for God. That's what it means. Sanctified, set apart. Our righteousness before God is not something we are or something we have done. Our righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has put us in Christ, the risen Christ himself. He is our righteousness. Isn't that amazing? You and I don't have to earn it, struggle for it, beat our breast, you know, cut ourselves or roll on the ground, make a wow somewhere. Not a wow, a wow. We don't have to do that. Isn't that liberating? 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31 says this. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31. Take a good look, he says, friends, in the message. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest of the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. I like that version. He chose the nobodies to expose the pretensions which are hollow of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of us can get by with blowing our own horn or own trumpet before God. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It comes from God through Jesus Christ. Righteousness, holiness, sanctification comes through Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn or blow a trumpet for God. Hallelujah. Blow a trumpet for God this morning. The fifth one and the last point is this. We have been redeemed by His blood. We have been forgiven our sin. And we have been given eternal life. I just bunched the whole thing together because it all comes in one package. Amen. What has He done? Redeemed us by His blood, forgiven our sin, and has given us eternal life. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7 says, we have been set free. Ephesians 1:7, we have been set free because of what Christ has done, not because of what you and I have done, because of what Christ has done. We have been set free because He bled and died. Our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you are forgiven in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. All you have to do is accept it and say, thank you, Jesus. You have forgiven me of all my sin and all my unrighteousness. We have been set free because of God's grace. What is God's grace? It's a blessing. It's God's blessing despite the fact that we do not deserve it. God still chooses to bless us even though we don't deserve it. That is grace. God's unmerited favor, which is so rich. That's why John 3:16 is such a beautiful scripture. We all know it by heart. If you don't know it by heart, memorize it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son, we forget 17, that's an important verse. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world. Hallelujah. He sent his son to save the world through him. What an amazing gospel of love. Oh, wow. People need to know this gospel of Jesus Christ. So, folks, friends, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? We sang about that today. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. I took this from J. Jonah because I was so inspired. He's the bread of life so that bakers can understand. He's the true vine so gardeners can understand. He's the good shepherd that farmers can understand. He's the way that traffic wardens and drivers and navigators can understand. He's the truth that politicians can understand. He's the resurrection that funeral undertakers can understand. He's the door so carpenters can understand. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that scientists can understand. He's the living water that plumbers can, I like that one, that plumbers can understand. He's the living word that actors can understand. Jesus is the one. He's the one. He's the one. Let's all stand this morning. There's no greater. There's no greater one than Jesus. And our job as believers, here's your job, is to know Jesus and to make him known. That's your job. Tell your neighbor, that's your job. Your job is to know Jesus and to make him known. If there's one phrase you can take today, it's my job is to know Jesus and to make him known. Here's the question. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? Have you considered Jesus? Have you abandoned Jesus? Do you ever feel life is too complex for God to understand? Then remember Jesus, who created everything, seen and unseen. He created you. He created you. He created you. Today he loves you. He loves you so much. And all he wants you to do is come to him and say, thank you, Jesus, for this robe of righteousness. Thank you for your robes of salvation. Thank you for your precious blood that has washed my sin away. Thank you that I'm in right standing with you, God, because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that with you, I'm always on the winning side. Let's stand this morning. Let's stand this morning and let's raise our hands with arms
to the one who has rescued. To the one who has welcomed me,
to the one who has welcomed me home,
who is Savior,
I sing.
I sing forever. To the one who has rescued my soul.
Up my hands.